Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Well, we're going to start out the show with a very somber note. The passing of Mr. Harold Letterman. Anyone that knows anything about boxing and the long career of Mr. Harold Letterman knows that boxing has lost one of its greats. So we're going to start off the show with 10 seconds of silence for the great late Harold Letterman. Thank you. Well, that being said, we had a great weekend of boxing. We saw the exchange of championships, belts. We also saw the maintaining of the great belts. But we actually saw some great action all weekend. We're going to start it off, of course, talking with the great John, the Iceman Scully, and see what he thought about this week's action. Of course, you know, Scully's man is coming off a victory, Mr. Arthur Montevideo. He had his bout last week, came out victorious, looked excellent while doing it. What's going on, Scully? How you doing tonight?
Yeah, everything's good, man. Just back home and getting settled. Everything's looking good.
Okay. I know before we get started with the rest of the show, you have some events coming up very soon now, right? The run is coming up and a few other events.
Right. Well, yeah, the 19th, next Sunday, we're doing the Run with the Champs, combined with my amateur boxing reunion, which is going to be in the Bronx, New York. So we're doing that, which is going to be a big event. And then the day before, a bunch of us kind of unofficially, Junior Jones, Iron Barkley, different guys, we'll be getting together in the city and go to a place called Jimmy's Corner, which is a very popular boxing-themed bar, nightclub restaurant in Manhattan. So things are looking good. I'm expecting a nice crowd. I just talked to Pedro Vieira today, who he fought Milt McCrory for the WBC welterweight title back in 1984, and he plans to be there. So we're gonna have a nice little group of guys, a big group of guys, as I expect.
Yeah, while I was at the boxing expo, I was actually able to see James Toney and Tommy Hearns took a couple pictures showing the Hall of Famers. Boxing Expo was really good. Got to meet a lot of guys face to face, some that have been on the show, some I hope to get on the show. But, Billy, what's next for Arthur, and what do you think about Usyk's injury?
I actually hadn't heard about that. I didn't know he got hurt. What happened?
I believe he tore something or a calf or something. So he's not making his heavyweight debut now.
Okay. That's boxing. Guys get hurt all the time, and it's just part of the game. But Hopefully, you know, because I know he had a lot of people talking, a lot of buzz going on. People were kind of anticipating this fight, so I hope he gets back in action soon.
Yeah, it's first of all, I thought it was kind of remarkable that, you know, he jumped all the way up to heavyweight from cruiserweight, but I'm not sure, you know, maybe that might have something to do with his injury. I don't know. We did have a passing this week. One of boxing's great, Mr. Harold Letterman, passed at the age of 79. We all remember and love to hear that voice. I know he was very active in Ring 8 and some things. I mean, Ring 10, isn't it? And some other things. What were some of your thoughts of Harold? And was he ever able to call any of your fights?
He actually judged my fight with Michael Nunn, and I believe maybe one of my other fights. But I'll tell you a funny thing. I got to know Harold a bit, and he actually sent me an email a couple of years ago. He had read an excerpt from my book, and he sent me an email, and he said he wanted to be the first person to buy a copy when it was ready. And I actually still have the email. I saved it, which I thought was pretty cool. So he wanted to be the first one to buy the book. So I was very flattered, obviously. But I'll tell you, I noticed, I got to know him and we hung out a few times. And I noticed the last two times I saw him, I noticed that something wasn't right. And I even mentioned to one of his friends, I said, man, you know, something's off with Harold. And he didn't really go into detail, but so obviously he's been sick or affected for quite a while now, because we're talking a good year and a half, 2 years ago, I noticed something wasn't right with him.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, like I said, he will be missed. We miss that voice and you know, just Bill being around. It's kind of like,
well, you know what's funny? What I like, if I say to somebody, all I have to do to anybody, like people I know, boxing guys, and if I go, Jim, just say the word Jim, and everybody knows that, you know, I'm imitating him. You know what I mean? It's just kind of funny because he had that certain way of saying Jim Lampley's first name. You know, he always said it the same exact way, and so it's funny when you can say that to a person who knows boxing, and right away they know exactly who you're talking about. You know, just one word. So he definitely made his mark in the game, and everybody whom I can't imagine there's anyone on this planet who met Harold Letterman and didn't walk away and say, wow, what a nice guy he is. Like it's just, I would find it impossible for that to happen.
Hey, man. I remember back when, Emmanuel was alive, Harold came on the show, and we were just, you know, little guys. I mean, you know, not that we're premier or nothing now, but I mean, we were really small then. And Harold gave us to come on the show and, you know, talk with us, you know, and I was always impressed, you know, that, like you said, you know, it didn't matter who you were, you know, Harold made time or had time for you. So,
right.
Yeah, great man passing. As far as talking about that Devin Haney and Moran have actually replaced Tompkin as the headliner for that main event. So it's official.
Right.
Haney's end. As far as the injury, they said Usyk suffered a biceps injury during training session Monday. So,
right. Okay. So that doesn't sound, career threatening or anything. So I think he'll be all right.
Okay. Manny Pacquiao versus Keith Thurman. It's official. It's been announced. Did you think that Manny would choose Keith? I didn't think so.
I didn't think so just because, you know, I mean, Manny, let's face it, in boxing terms, he's old. Like, he's an older guy. He's had a ton of fights. And, you know, and Keith is, he's been a little off the radar lately, but Keith is still a young, strong, hard-punching, you know, he's one of those guys, him and Sean Porter and Errol Spence, you know, so Keith is in that group. And so you have to give Manny a big shout-out for taking that fight at this point. I mean, that's pretty impressive. A lot of guys wouldn't do that. There's a lot of guys who wouldn't do that. And so, you know, you got to give him a thumbs up for that. It's a real fight. It's a real threat. And, you know, I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. And I think, I don't know to say at this point who's going to win, but I think Manny's going to be right there. I think he's going to be in the fight.
I'm kind of looking at it from, you know, maybe, you know, an old fight fan's perspective, but this is a fight where I see Manny has nothing to lose. If he's an older fighter, if he gets beat by the young lion, then, you know, supposedly
right,
he's, you know, he's passed it on. If he wins, then, Manny probably goes out with a bang, you know, because I'm thinking
right,
maybe this is his last fight. So, whereas Keith, if he loses to Manny, he's lost to an old man, and if he wins, he's beating an old man.
Right. I mean, me personally, I would give Keith credit for beating him just because, in my eyes, I can't say, other than, you know, getting knocked out, but I mean, in his wins in recent times, I can't say that Manny has looked his age, so to speak. I mean, I think he's looked good. I really do. I think if you didn't know who Manny Pacquiao was and you saw him fight now, in his last fight, you'd say, wow, you know, this guy's pretty good, man. We got to, you know, this is a real guy here. So I don't think he looks his age, which is, you know, obviously a huge plus. I think it's a real fight. It's a good fight, regardless of age, because Manny, to me, has not shown a significant slippage, you know, like other guys his age have shown over the years.
Interesting. Okay. Did you get a chance to watch any of the action this weekend?
Let me see. No, I was last night. I was at a amateur show. We had three guys boxing last night, and then Friday night I was at a fight. I got an award from, I don't know if any of the viewers know, there's a band called Dropkick Murphys. They're also promoters. They promote fights. They promote Danny O'Connor and different people like that. And they had a show in Springfield Friday, and they gave me an award. And so I was there for that. And kid Javier Fortuna, he was in the main event. He won his fight in the main event. And then last night I was at an amateur show. We had three guys boxing. So I was not able to catch the televised action.
Give us an update on what's happening in the amateurs bracket as 2020 closes in on. I mean, you know, it's already May. I don't know where the rest of it went, but anyway,
yeah.
So we're already halfway through May. And as I say, 2020 is coming. So what's the schedule for the amateur and you know, possibly starting to pick our team?
Right. Well, there's basically they just very recently had an Olympic qualifier, which would pick a one group of guys that would qualify for the Olympic trials. So they have another one coming up. So basically, they're in the process now of finalizing the 8 guys in each weight class who will vie for the Olympic team spot. So every 4 years, 8 guys, it's narrowed down to 8 guys who will fight for the spot. That's the actual Olympic trials. And so right now they're still in the process of doing that. So it's it's basically an open field right now. There's opportunities for every amateur in the country to get one of those 8 spots, and that's what's going on right now.
So you mentioned you had 3 guys that were fighting. What does that New England? I don't know whether it's been changed or not. I mean, but usually New England was a section by itself, wasn't it?
Right. Well, to be honest, for years, even when I was amateur, like we would represent New England in the Golden Gloves, like Connecticut fighters box in the Golden Gloves. But actually, according to the ABF, we are actually separate. I'm not even sure why, but Connecticut has, like, for example, they have the New England Championships every year where you can fight for a New England title, but Connecticut boxers don't fight in that. They fight for the Connecticut title, and then later on, they box off against New England. So I'm not really sure why we are, according to USA Boxing, I don't know why Connecticut is not considered a part of New England, but we aren't. We have our own separate tournament, and we just branch off from there. So right now, we're just, we're attending amateur shows in our area, in our state, and, trying to get our guys ready for this upcoming qualifiers.
So you want to mention any names while we're talking about your amateurs?
Well, my two main guys that I work with, a kid named O.J. Coley, who's 152 pounds, and another kid named Damani Williams, who's 165 pounds. They're both open-class boxers, and I've been a lot of sparring with them over the last 2 years. And, they're both up and coming kids, very dedicated, in the gym every day. And, actually, when I went to Las Vegas and Montreal recently, for the training camp with Arthur, and then I went to Las Vegas on some boxing business, and I brought both of them with me on both trips, and they got sparring in Las Vegas and sparring in Montreal. So, I'm trying to bring them up kind of the way I came up, traveling around, going to different gyms, getting different looks, meeting different people. And they'll both be at the amateur boxing reunion next Sunday.
Oh, man. Old school from Scully? Who'd have thought? Jeez.
Yes, sir. I'm that guy now.
But even though you didn't get a chance to watch the action, I made a statement about Julian William, Julian and Jared Hurd's fight, yeah. And I said that my observation was that J-Rock came to win the title while Hurd came to defend the title.
Right.
Does that make sense to somebody that's been through the wars that you have?
Well, I mean, it's a mindset. I assume you're talking about their apparent mindset. And, a lot of it, you have to come in.
That was my hashtag.
The mindset factor. And some guys, they come in and it's not like all or nothing. You would think like every guy in the world who fought for a world title would come in, just all or nothing, and a lot of guys don't do that, for different reasons. Some guys don't want to sacrifice their style in order to do what they have to do to win. Some guys, they let the outside influences affect them. And Williams, he had suffered that loss, and he spoke on it after the fight, which I thought was very cool because I saw the clip where he was saying basically, you guys saw me lose and you might have thought I was done, but that's just boxing. That happens. And I kept my nose to the grindstone. I kept focused, and now here I am. So he's a well-spoken guy. He spoke on something that a lot of boxers, you know, want to say. And, he went out there and did it. I mean, you have to, you know, everybody's been really high on Hurd. You know, he has a very good name. He's considered he was a favorite in the fight. And so you have to give Julian all the credit in the world, because he showed, and he spoke on it after, how his mentality was above average. And that probably more than anything is what helped him come through and win this fight.
Now, you know, they made a lot of his training camp and the fact that he had, you know, for the first time, got a strengthening and conditioning coach. So you're not, you know, really high on strengthening and conditioning as, you know, a position.
Right.
But when you look at J-Rock's performance, you know, like every boxer, I think, I mean, you know, just because it doesn't work for you, you know what I'm saying? Maybe
right.
It works for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean.
I'll tell you this. I know this much. The strength coach or any coach, you know, boxing coach, a lot of it is mental. Like, if you believe that it works for you, which a lot of guys would, you know, whether they know better or not, they would be, you know, it's like a lot of guys, I've had guys, I start to train, they go, okay, well, all right, who's going to be my strength coach? You know, I'm like, well, I'm your strength coach. Like, I'm your box coach. You know, I got the strength covered. You'll be strong. So that's their first question. So, you know, you could go with a guy and right off the bat, because it's new and it's fresh and you feel different with him and you feel different with what he's doing, it could make you feel confident, you know, even in a way that maybe is fabricated to a certain degree. You know, we'll see how it looks going forward. You know, like a strength coach is always going to look good when the fighter he works with does good. But when the fighter doesn't do good, then we're going to have to see what people think of the situation then. But I in that regard, like I say, I'm not against it in that. Anything. If you take a fighter and you say, you know what, I'm going to start having you do yoga. Yoga is great for the core, and it's great for this, and it's great for your mentality. If a fighter believes in yoga, he's going to do better because he believes in the yoga. Where another guy would laugh at it, meaning he might not want to do it, and he won't think it helps. So a lot of boxing is psychological. You've heard the expression, boxing is different, you know, 75%, 90%. It's boxing is 90% mental. And this could be an indication and an example of that, because whatever you believe, you know, if you believe hitting the mitts like Floyd Mayweather helps you, then you're if you believe it, it's going to help you. I mean, I personally wouldn't believe it in the, you know, I would think it was a joke, and I wouldn't, me as a fighter, I wouldn't waste my time with it. But some guys believe it. So whatever they believe, they believe. And, you know, if you ask me if it's good for you, I'll say it all depends on what the guy believes. So if it's good for J-Rock, then it's good.
Did you get a chance to see or any of the news conference, the press conference between Tony Harrison and Jamal Charlo?
Yeah, that was, I mean, we're in a different era, you know, we're in a different era, you know, that's, you know, it's me, it's just me personally, and I can imagine I speak for millions of people, you know, it's not appealing, it's not appealing, I understand it's you know, I gave him a pass in the degree that, it's, you know, it's just his emotions, that's just him, but, you know, I just don't think that if you're going to sell yourself to the people you want to sell yourself to, I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, it's just, there's other ways to present yourself as a champion, as a future champion, as a professional athlete, as a boxer. And that's not necessarily it, the way that he chose to do it. But again, it's emotion. That's him. That's how he feels. And, you know, I can't expect him to be doing 7-Up commercials anytime soon. But you know, he's being himself, so you can't argue with that. But he has to realize, like, his marketing would have taken a hit that day, you know, if the wrong or the right or the wrong people see his press conference.
And what about Charlo? I mean, you know, they so-called, you know, the branding of the Young Lions.
Right.
We've kind of seen them kind of take the low road these past couple of years.
Right.
You know, compared to the, you know, the Twins that first came out.
Right.
What do you think about, you know, I mean, did he just look like a sore loser? Or, I mean, you know, do you think it also hurt their brand? Considering, you know, both of them, as I said, have kind of turned in negativity in order to sell drama.
Right. I mean, you know, it works. It's hard to argue with, and it works when you're winning. But when you lose, all of a sudden, it isn't seen in the same light. You know, it's hard to argue with success. And a guy who's winning constantly and making money and doing this and that, you know, it's hard to argue with him. It's hard to tell him what he should be doing because he's being successful. But once that slide comes and they start going a little bit downhill or losing, then they're going to wonder maybe why people aren't calling them for interviews, why aren't people asking for their autograph, approaching them. You know, you're never going to see them on, I don't know, even know if they have the Tonight Show anymore. But, you know, back in the day, fighters wanted to be on Johnny Carson. And, you know, so a select few got on there, Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard and guys like that. So in this day and age, it seems like social media is enough for them. You know, they're not looking at the bigger picture and trying to present themselves in a championship manner. So, I mean, who am I to argue? They're making a lot more money than I do. But, you know, just my personal opinion. I mean, I look at, you know, when you look at guys, you want to look at championship qualities. And that has a lot more to do with just your ability to throw punches.
Which brings me to another press conference. Dominic Brazil and Deontay Wilder.
Right.
So, did you kind of take them both in the same tone, but maybe Deontay's was just a little more audience friendly?
You know, I think I tell you what. Just from what I've seen from him, and I'm guessing. You know, I think Wilder tried to be a little too, like, humorous. Like I don't think that's really him. You know what I mean? I think he just would rather be straightforward and aggressive and nasty and verbal. But I think a few times, you know, now he's trying to, it's almost like fabricated. He's trying to inject a little humor and personality into it. And, you know, it doesn't seem 100% authentic to me. I think maybe somebody might have told him to tone it down a little bit. But I saw the thing where at some point he said he wanted to put him in a body bag. And, he said something like that before. And you get caught up in the moment, but you got to realize, I mean, people have died in this game and their families are still out there listening. And, you know, it's a touchy subject, and it's not something that I think should be brought up. And I'm sure, because he couldn't mean it. Like if he means it, that he wants to kill someone, if he means that, then, you know, then I have no use for the guy. I don't care if he boxes another round in his life. But if he's doing it just for publicity and to draw attention, I mean, that's that's just as bad or worse in a way. So I think somebody needs to talk to him about this strategy. But again, it's drawing attention. I mean, we're talking about it, so I guess the intended effect is being successful, but I'm just wondering at what cost. Me personally, it does not, that kind of talk, I think I'm one of the minorities, like that kind of talk does not make me want to watch the fight more. Like if anything, it makes me want to watch it less, and that's truly the fact. I mean, the only Wilder fight I've ever watched is him and Tyson Fury. That's the only Deontay Wilder fight I've ever, consciously sat down and actually watched the fight. So it is what it is. I'm not really a fan of the putting people in a body bag talk, because like I say, it's either you mean it and you're not a nice person, or you don't mean it and you just don't realize how insensitive and messed up you're being by choosing that route. So I'm not a fan of that by any stretch. You know, it's just, I've seen guys die. I've been there at fights when guys have died. I was there when Pritchard Colon got injured. That's nothing to make a joke of or to, hype yourself up about. I think that's something that's kind of taboo. And so I'm not a fan of that strategy by any stretch.
I'm going to ask you one last question before I let you off, because every time I look at Deontay fight, I think about this. I think it was in 2010 that when Emmanuel was doing fights out here at Pechanga, during one of our conversations, Emmanuel said that Deontay Wilder would be the heavyweight champion of the world. And even knowing Emmanuel's fiery personalities, I mean, and he's dealt with some big, big guys before. When you think of Emmanuel's legacy, do you think that he would have let Deontay perform, quote unquote, at the level that he has been, or do you think that he would have been? I mean, he could have still had the Muhammad Ali swag and all that. But do you think that maybe Emmanuel would have had him at a different point at this time in his career?
Now, do you mean in terms of actually in the ring boxing ability, or do you mean like press conferences and things like that?
Well, Emmanuel kind of ran both.
If
he ran you in the ring, he kind of made sure that you didn't mess with that crunk image, or he preserved, that, crunk presence. He might cuss like a sailor in the ring, but he demanded that you respected the sport, and he demanded you respected the name. So,
right.
So
I know he loved the puncher. I know that Emmanuel loved the puncher. I think he would have tried to. He definitely would have tried to sharpen Deontay up skill wise. Throwing shorter punches, straighter punches, that type of thing, because it would reflect on him. He wouldn't want a guy throwing wild shots and reflecting his training. But I know, because I know Mark Breland very well, and he trains Deontay. And I know it's hard. I mean, Deontay's, he started boxing later. He's an older guy. He's got that mentality. It's hard to sharpen him up. People wonder why it's not happening. And, it's hard because the guy, he's got that, for better or worse, he has that killer be killed mentality. He's got that assassin mentality, and with that comes a little bit of recklessness that if you were to tone it down too much, you would actually curb some of that desire and anger that actually helps him succeed. So while I do believe in straightening out the punches a little bit and not having your chin in the air and different things like that, but you have, there's a balance there you have to find, because you have to let this guy with hold on to some of that anger, because that's obviously what gets him through. I mean, love him or hate him, I mean, he comes to fight, he comes to win by knockout, he comes to land big punches, and he's going to throw them. And so you don't want to lose that. You don't want to harness that too much and change him completely, because I think he would start losing if he lost that edge that he has.
Yeah, that, you know, it does. I just think, you know, like you said, it's not so much that, you know, it would be anything. I just think that that's probably the mentality and you know, like you said, it's not that I have anything against Mark Breland, but,
no.
You know, it's just, you know, I think, you know, how certain managers and fighters command respect, you know, that would have been, you know, maybe a deciding factor in his conduct also.
Right, right, for sure.
Considering more of a father figure, you know.
Right.
But hey, Scully, I know, you know, I've kept you on a little longer than usual, man, so why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and let everybody know your final thoughts for tonight.
All right. Well, you know, as always, Iceman John Scully at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also John the Iceman Scully, with the Iceman being one word, on Facebook. And, you know, I'm just excited about things. I'm excited about this weekend coming up in New York. So I just want to urge anyone out there, if you're in the area, if you're in New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, New England, come on over to the Bronx at the Villa Maria Academy on Sunday, the 19th, from about 12 noon to 4 p.m. And you will see plenty of fighters, plenty of boxing people. And it's only $10 to get in, and it's going to be all the money will go to help guys like Gerald McClellan and Wilfred Benitez. So can't argue with that. So I hope to see some new faces out there this weekend.
All right, Scully, you have a great day, man, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Have a good show. All right.
Yeah. Well, now we are going to be joined by the First Lady of Team Certified. And if you that don't know, she was AVO Manager of the Year this year, and always repping Team Certified, Miss M. Tally Tally. Tally, how you doing this evening?
You're doing pretty good.
I see you have been right there at the switchboard for the whole show. So I know we you had a hard day, but I'm going to try not to make it harder. But I am going to take it. So first of all, let's talk about the Team Certified. You know, I know, you know, we've had Ernie on the show. We've had you on the show talking about the last event. But since then, we've also managed to grab a couple of fighters. One young gentleman is from Honduras, and the other one, I believe, is just coming off of his amateur career, Mr. K. Pierce Bowen, or Caprice Bowen?
Yes. Caprice is actually, he's pro. I think he's, we just picked him up from Chicago. I think he's 7-2, 7-3.
Okay.
And he was off for maybe 3 years, and he had his comeback fight a couple weekends ago, and he ended up fracturing his opponent's jaw.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a good comeback. So what weight is he, and Is he now signed with Team Certified?
135 is his weight, and he is definitely Team Certified. I'm excited to have him too. I'm anticipating a real good career with him. Our other guy from Honduras, he actually has been on the team for maybe 6 months, so we're just working on getting him to the United States. We also have Muhammad Asuli from Morocco. We're working on getting his paperwork over so he can come to the United States, get to training camp, get his debut. And also I've got a female, Adele Corey, 132, from Tel Aviv. And I'm working on her paperwork to get her here to the States. As soon as we get her first event scheduled, I can get her invitation letter sent over to a country and get her over here for her first debut, and I'm looking forward to her fighting as well. And that'll be our first female on fighter on the team.
Now, have you found any hardships, have you run into any difficulties as far as these fighters qualifying, to come over to the country? Have there been, any obstacles that maybe, that you didn't know about or that weren't anticipated?
For Asuli from Morocco, I'm having trouble understanding the requirements for which application we fill out for his visa. D application, I'm not sure how this is working. So we're going to have to get an immigration attorney to help with the paperwork. Adele Corey has her country, her paperwork. She understands hers. Looks like hers is going to be a nice, smooth process. And I hear it's difficult to get somebody from Honduras to come over to the States. So we're working on one problem at a time. So it looks like Adele Corey, she'll probably get here first. Then Asuli, and then the Ricky Batiste from Honduras should be next.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a little difficult.
Different times, different age. I've been trying to set up a show where, in particular, that we can reach our audience in the UK. Can you kind of tell us or tell our audience a little bit about our following across the pond?
More or less the friend requests we get. We've had several fighters interview with Dan Hewitt over in the UK. He's got over a million followers on his boxing live show. And we did that show, and I just compare notes with Ernie. And sometimes, some days, we'll just say, we're getting all these friend requests from different locations, but the UK, it's really getting popular, and I'd say second place would be Australia. So I'm not sure what the buzz is or what the talk is, what's going on, but we're getting some nice followers coming in right now.
Once again, like I said, it's remarkable how an island that small has such a unified boxing community where, you know, we are, you know, consider ourselves the premier country for boxing. But our support seems to always come from other countries. For example, the Canelo Danny Pickers fight, you know. I don't think I have to say much more about that. But Talia, some very interesting news has come across. We're going to eventually talk about the fights, but Manny Pacquiao versus Keith Thurman. What did you think when you heard that announcement?
I just heard that announcement actually from you on your show. I just heard that from your show. I've been out of the loop for a minute.
Manny Pacquiao versus Keith Thurman, July 20th.
What I think about it? I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
It's definitely something to watch. Do you want me to pick?
I don't want you too far yet because I want you to put on your manager's hats. And first I want you to manage Keith Thurman against Pacquiao. And then vice versa.
For Thurman, it's a definitely take the fight. If he wins, he wins big. He's winning over Pacquiao. He's younger. It's a good chance for him. It's a good fight. Manny Pacquiao, I'd probably tell him no. I'd want him to keep everything he's earned, all his record, rather than be an older, take the risk of being an older fighter and losing the throne to Thurman. I'd rather him keep, maybe even retire or fight somebody else and just keep his.
Would you want to fight Sean Porter, Errol Spence? the list is kind of small, but
I'd have him go down even. No, I'd have him take an easier fight and just collect a few more checks and sit back.
But see, you know, it was as I was saying to Scully, if I'm Pacquiao, I really have nothing to lose. I'm an older fighter. If I lose, I'm an older fighter. I lost to a young lion, and I'm passing the baton. If I win, I beat a young lion, and I further my legacy. Whereas for Keith Thurman, I don't think it's like that. If he wins, he beat an older guy. If he loses, he lost to an older guy. Doesn't make any difference whether it's Manny Pacquiao or not. He still lost. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to make a blemish on his record, but where would he go from there? Does he go down? Does he go up? Does he remain the same? You know, for Keith Thurman, it's almost a must win. Whereas for Manny, either way, I take a paycheck home. One way I retire, the other way I might stick around and collect another couple paychecks.
I'd have Pacquiao just find somebody a little easier and grab a few more checks and keep his baton and sit down. Thurman, I'd tell him to go for it.
Well, now let's talk about the styles. Now that the fight has been made, what would you do for Pacquiao if you're scouting Keith Thurman, And what would you do for Keith Thurman if you were scouting Pacquiao? Yeah, I told you what he was.
He got me thinking too hard on this. Pacquiao? I don't know. I'm not sure on this one. All I can tell you is which one I tell to take it and which one I tell to sit down. I don't think it's not anything I can tell Pacquiao. And I don't know what to say about that. I mean, you got me on that question. I'm not sure.
Well,
I'm at a loss.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, who knew? You know, who even, you know, who thought this was a fight that was going to be made? But it is, so now we're all going to sit. Now we're going to sit back July 20th and all watch it.
Yeah, it's a moneymaker. Some of these fights, you know, you can take it or leave it, turn the TV on or off. This is one you definitely, I think, the world would watch either way, whatever they feel. This is one you'd watch.
Yeah, so now. I'm looking at Deontay Wilder and Dominic Brazil. Now, I'll be really kind of brutal here because I'm even though, you know, Layman is kind of a Dominic Brazil figure. I think Dominic Brazil is the Michelin man. I think he's somebody that's going just going to lay up on the ropes, take his punishment. If his opponent runs out of gas, he'll win. But I'm not impressed by his footwork. His punching power. To me, he looks like a lazy boxer. Now, you know, granted, he's another one of those, but I don't know if his skill level really matches his record. And I'm not really sure that this is a fight. I mean, after watching Dominic, I mean, after watching Deontay and Tyson Fury, I'm not sure this fight is going to generate that kind of excitement. What do you think about this matchup and the path that the American heavyweight has had to kind of follow? Rather than, you know, be kind of the face of the heavyweight division as Anthony Joshua.
Well, look at the fan support. Joshua, what, UK? They're bigger fan of boxing fans than we are. They support more. And that Wilder, this upcoming fight, when I said about turning on the TV, making the decision, if that's going to be one I'm going to definitely watch, nope. I can't, you know, if I'm here doing nothing, that would be a fight I'd turn on. But, you know, versus like the Pacquiao Thurman, that's something I'm going to make an effort to watch. This one with Wilder, take it or leave it. Not really. I think I'll find something else to do that night.
Well, what about you spoke of Anthony Joshua, and he's fighting a replacement, so to speak. But here's the thing. His replacement, Anthony Ruiz, has a chance to become the second Mexican heavyweight champion. So... we have that country below the border called Mexico that are going to be supporting him all out in full force, win or lose.
Yes.
Also have Anthony Joshua that's going to be supported by the UK. So, does this fight actually turn out to be more exciting being followed by those two nations than if he had actually fought Big Baby Miller, when we know how much we support our fighters as Americans, and especially African Americans? If anybody's heard my rant about the Danny Jacobs Canelo fight, they'll understand what I'm saying. But, you know, like I said, I felt like an ink spot in a brown sea. So, you know, I mean, this is going to tell you about how much audience this is going to bring. So what do you think, Tally? I mean, you know, as a manager and you know, someone that has to, you know, deal in things like this, you know,
the Mexican audience is going to show up in full force. It's going to be, that fight's going to have bigger ratings than it would have without the Mexican guy being the replacement. I think this is going to attract more viewers. The Mexican fans, fight fans, pretty large. I think they would overshadow, you know, the Big Baby Miller fans, tight support. They're going to come out full effect. So for this might be a blessing in disguise as far as viewer ratings and participation. Even I'm more interested in seeing it. And I hate that when a lot of times we're given a chance to shine, we mess it up doing something like, you know, like what's going down. It makes it hard for the rest of the people to follow behind you and try to prove, you know, the things in the sport with this happening.
It's definitely a black eye to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
This has a lot more impact than, you know, Canelo eating tainted meat or something like that, you know, however that went down. I'm still not at catering truck guy here from Mexico to San Diego, but, you know, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but what doesn't happen is that you fail in three drug tests for the same fight.
Yeah. Right.
And also,
you just must not want the fight.
Well, but
you need an excuse to get out of it. I'm not understanding it. Yeah.
But let's go to the penalty. I mean, as a casual boxing fan, not someone that's really employed within the industry itself, so the casual boxing fan, when they say, well, you know, the man got caught so many years ago and, you know, very little happened. Now he gets caught three times, the second time, and all he gets is actually a six-month suspension where he cannot be certified or, you know, any of his bouts sanctioned. So the only thing that he really got was a slap on the wrist. And I think that makes, you know, the casual boxing fan say, well, see, all of them do it, so it doesn't matter, you know. And especially when you say, you know, when someone is getting a chance, you know, that perhaps, you know, this could be life-changing money for them and their family, you know.
Right.
If you're not thinking about yourself, what about those that you, you know, that you have to take care of, or those that depend upon you for their, you know, financial safety or whatever? But I thought that was a, you know, I guess maybe I should have Tony Harrison on the show. He could tell me what kind of move that was. I'll see if I can get him soon. Tony, you know, that's another thing that, you know, you've heard me discuss with Scully while you were waiting. Team Certified has a very strict code, and I know, you know, we have a founder that don't take no mess. You know, if you don't come out there, you know, representing it as you should, he will, for lack of a better word, fire your ass.
Okay.
So, do you think that our founder would accept the language of the boxers in that press conference? And I'm talking about on both sides, Jamal Charlo as well as Tony Anderson.
Nope. I mean, you know, people say it's exciting and it's hype. He might let that slide, that kind of language. But the, you know, the stuff when you get up in people's faces and you push and you shove at the weigh-ins and you grind their foreheads, that kind of stuff. I know he has no tolerance for that kind of stuff. I'm surprised that some of the language that one of the fighters. I'm surprised at some of that, but I hope Tony kicks Charles' ass. I'm gonna just put that out there. But it's not my taste, you know, that kind of stuff. And I know at our weigh-ins we do not allow that kind of stuff. If you act a certain way, I mean, you know, you just don't have to do that to get the point across. Let's put it in the ring. Sometimes it's hype that arguing and stuff, but we prefer not to. That's just not our. That's not the way we conduct ourselves. All our staff, you know, we conduct ourselves professionally, business wise, and we like that to reflect on everybody, the whole team. You know, even our fighters. I mean, you got to be bulls in the ring, but they gentlemen. I got some good guys, sweethearts.
But here's the thing. If you look back at the Tony Harrison's history, and you look back at his press conferences, you know, when he's lost, whether he's won, Tony's always been a gentleman.
Always, right. Even in person. With his fans,
right.
The kids. I've been down to the gym. I see them every, you know, many occasions. Yeah. Good family. All of that. They are good people. I was surprised. I mean, but he's allowed. He's allowed. He gets the pass on this one for sure. Because he's a good guy. He doesn't, he doesn't, throw chairs in the locker rooms and start fights in the back hallways and show up clowning.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like
right.
other fights, he doesn't do that. So regardless of this press conference, I'm sure he had a lot to say because of, you know, things he's heard after the first fight. So he's allowed. But, you know, he doesn't do things that will, like, fans would hate you. You know, you're not on Instagram tweeting and talking about how you can't stand your baby's mamas or, you know, just doing silly stuff that we don't have to worry about. I don't think you'd ever have to worry about him doing that. So whatever happened at that press conference, he gets a big pass.
Yeah, it was, I mean,
in my opinion.
This was, well, I mean, you know, like I said, Tony's always the show, you know, K9 goes down to his gym. You've had him on the show before. And I was just surprised at the raw emotion, because he definitely took it to the Detroit street. I mean, he came back.
Hey.
With the hat, I kind of thought, you know, I was back in the 70s again. You know, I was looking, you know, go strap up. What's going on?
You know how we do, though, right? You know how we can get. Hey.
Oh, really?
He might have heard some stuff we're not privy to. You know, he might have really heard something to really set him off that we just don't know about. If I see him, I just might ask.
I'd love to get him back on the show and ask myself, because, you know, hey, I've never seen Tony that emotional. Speaking of another emotional press conference, Deontay Wilder and Dominic Brazil, we've known about there's been some bad blood between them. I think maybe Deontay, you know, maybe took it over the top a little bit. I've been known to say some things, you know, just, you know, back in the day we used to call it the dozens, and, you know, sometimes you had to run home. You talk about but anyway, you know.
I remember that too. Yeah,
so,
I'm not gonna tell the age, but yes, the dozens.
Hey, that's funny. I'm proud to be. Hey, my life open book. All you guys.
Me too. I really don't mind. I just joke about it.
I'm gonna be me until they put me in the ground, so I'm cool with it. Talking about Tony, we also kind of saw a different Dominic Brazil. I mean, he talks some trash, you know, but usually, he's usually on the A side when he does it. But, you know, when you talk about Tony and Jamal's press conference, what did you think about these two gentlemen? Repping the heavyweight championship.
Well, I missed that press conference. I didn't see that one. Sorry,
okay.
I missed that one. I missed that. I wasn't quite. That one, this, I don't know. This fight. This hype didn't catch my eye, so I totally missed that one.
I think they showed part of it during the fight. That's why I mentioned it. But I want to talk about the Herd J-Rock fight. And the announcers made sure to let us know that J-Rock had taken on a strengthening and conditioning coach for this fight. He had actually moved his training camp so he wouldn't be home, near his family and things like that. What do you recommend for your fighters, as far as strengthening and conditioning? We're small, so I know, we're not going to send our fighters to Big Bear for training camp and, stuff like that. But what do you recommend to your fighters as far as, the training camp and, what things shouldn't they do before they get to training camp so that training camp is training and not a fat camp?
Well, the significance of the strengthening coach, I learned from Ernie. Conditioning, Ernie does all of that. So get your regular work and you get your strengthening and conditioning. So over these last 3 years, he may not know it, but he's always explained to me the importance of it and the basis of how you break down your muscles, build them back up, and what he was doing. And I see what he's doing. The quality of the punches, they may not look hard, but that opponent feels it to the bone. So there is something to it. And over the years, other fighters that I come in contact with that ask to be part of the team, that's one of my first questions. Who's your coach? Who does your strength and conditioning? You know, some coaches can't do both or qualify to do both. So, but that's one of my first questions, and it is important. And I learned how important that is from Ernie. Ernie's capable of doing both, so his whole crew don't have to worry about. And so everybody else we have, I make sure or ask that they have that in their program. And we've been lucky so far that the majority of them do have that. And they don't, and it's in-house or it's around the block. They don't have to go to camps per se to get that, on a regular basis. So it's, I see it's very important.
How much do you combine old school with new school techniques?
Now, I'm more of a old school techniques, I think, are pretty much gone. I grew up with watching the Crunks. And I know, like, my uncle was involved in judging way back in the day. So I was around, you know, the old school Crunk trainers. So that's all I know. I don't know about anybody else, everywhere else. But I noticed it's a difference between the way they fight and the way fights are held and scheduled and fighters are built today as opposed to back in the day. I like old school. That's a, you know, I don't know how to compare, but I like old school. I don't know how to answer that question other than that.
Well, no, I mean, you know, some people depend upon, you know, weight machines. Some people depend upon free weights. Some people want, you know, some people, some people want you running treadmills. Some guys want you out running hills. You know, getting wet, being cold. You know.
Oh, I mean, for the conditioning. Okay.
Yeah.
Versus train. New school.
Hey, back in the day, like I said, you know, I could almost tell time. By Boom Boom Mancini running past the house every day. He put in the mile. I mean, you know, but that was, you know, we didn't have treadmills and stuff like that day. I mean, you know, back in the day, that was, you know, those were things that women used in the house. You know, boxers didn't use those type of things. You know, I mean, you know, they hit the heavy bag and you know, that they didn't have, you know, some of the tools that used today just for simple training.
Right.
So, you know, they bet on the mitts and all, you know, and that.
Yeah, well, I'll go for this new stuff. The new school. Cause you can count your body fat and see how much you burn off and, you know, machines tell you everything. You got those aqua bags, those water bags, and whatever else they have now, you know, and different machines to tweak different kind of muscles in a different angle, in a different way than you could ever do back in the day. But I like old school trainers and their knowledge versus the new school. Ernie's qualified as old school. as far as I'm concerned, though.
Let's talk about the fight. And of course, it was a unanimous decision. I'm a Hearns fan. You know, been there ever since he was 2-0, and even I know that he lost that fight. And I had a couple reactions because I think after that second round knockdown, he was never able to mentally get back in the fight, and I thought that's what cost him ultimately the fight, because whether or not he had caught up or whatever you want to call it over those last rounds, I don't think he would have always lost that fight by the knockdown. Mm-hmm. At least that, but.
I agree with you.
What most impressed you about J-Rock's game plan?
Well, I can be admit, my views are from a spectator's view. I'm not a trainer. I don't study fighters. My management skills are business skills versus, someone that had, of course, I had never been in the ring, had boxing skills. It's just the business. I got the business mind. But when I look at the fights, I'm just like regular Joe Blow. I think in the audience and watching it, from what I saw, I don't know. It was a good fight. I don't know what his opponent did any different from his usual training, but he was just on the money. He was on the mark. He was getting those headshots in from the inside, and that knockdown in that second round. When you look at her face, it was like, he was like, oh, crap. And I don't know, the expression on his face was like, oh, this guy can really get to me. And I think that got to his head, and it was just a wrap from all the way through. But it was a good fight. That was a fight I truly enjoyed.
I think, it could be right now, it's only May, but right now I think it could be one of the candidates for Fight of the Year. And as I said, we've, developed somewhat of a relationship with Ernesto and Jared over the years. And I kind of saw what I thought him fall into the same sort of hole that, you get to that point where, you say, this is not what I signed up for. But then you think about it, and whether I signed up for this or not, like I got to get through it. now I have to resort to a plan B. And I think being having defended his title 5 times, I think that Jared became a defender. He lost that championship mentality. And once he found out, that it was going to be harder, you know, because the cut I think came in maybe the seventh round or somewhere like that, you know, a few rounds after the knockdown. So I think he got completely taken off his game plan, and he was like a TNG, regardless of what Ernesto had to say to him. I'm a firm believer that if your fighter is losing the fight, don't swell his head up and you know, tell him like it is, you know, that you're losing the fight. Having watched the fight, do you think that Ernesto's instructions in the corner should have been much harsher?
I'm like you. I'd rather tell the truth. Because if you go in defense mode and you think you're, you know, up on points, even if it's by a few, and then you have to just go and just, you know, be on the defensive all the way through and think that that's going to get you by on points, and it's not, I'd rather you tell your guy, you know, you better bring it or you're going to lose it. You know, to give him a fair chance, and that might have, you know, woke him up and let him do that. He was definitely on defense, and I've seen a lot of that with his head down on his opponent's shoulder, and then, you know, he's pushing off, you know, pushing him back with a shoulder type free, you know, just to save face. But yeah, I think telling the truth is a lot better than, you know, striking him out. But that's not going to do anything. That lets you get comfortable in what you're doing, you know, thinking your defense is getting you by when it's really not, especially if you think you're up by one or two points or more than that. Your corner's supposed to tell you to either knock them out or you going home without those belts. And I am a Herd fan as well. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't think he developed that sense of urgency, and I don't think his corner, you know, gaining that sense of urgency until the 10th round, which were the championship rounds. Now let's go across to the other guy, J-Rock. Do you think that the experience of losing the first title fight gave him more initiative and much more determination in the second championship fight?
This is when he said he had ended up doing the strengthening and the conditioning coach cutting off all media. I think all that is what made the difference, not just necessarily taking the loss. I mean, you know, everybody takes a loss and you just got to, you know, keep moving. You know, the loss is no big deal. You get up and you get a second chance all the time in boxing. I think it's just the way he just changed everything. You know, he cut himself out, like he said, after that interview with all the, you know, the negative stuff. So he just separated, moved away from that. And I think he had confidence in his new training and the conditioning he did. I think that's what made the difference, personally. I think that's what gave him that confidence boost. And I think those body shots he was putting on her made a statement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Herd has proven to be a good fighter, you know, through adversity, even after he gets hurt. I just thought that this time, you know, he reached down to get something that wasn't there. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to be generous and say that this fight was actually lost in the mental preparation. Because I think Herd had that I've done this 5 times. This is just another guy, but I don't think they anticipate, how much desire, at least that's what we used to call it back in the old days, how much desire that fighter had to win. It was a very exciting thing for days of boxing. I actually liked the young Mario Barrios. He's another fighter that we've had on the show. Him and his sister as well. You saw her in the audience. I guess, let's see, we have two champions, and before we get off the air, we want to congratulate, of course, King on winning the championship, and then we have Mr. Rodriguez that maintained his championship. So you want to give them a last shout-out? Tell us anything you want to learn that we want to know about Team Certified, website, any social media?
Everything's the same as Team Certified Sports Promotion, is the website. I'm always proud of Team Certified, win or lose. They already know. And it's like the best team we could ever have. It's a nice, tight-knit family. Any of the loose leaves on the tree, we shake them off. And the originals, the loyal ones, are always there. And that's what makes us strong and keeps us going. And expect to see some big things soon from us in the next couple of months. I'm not privy to say anything, but I can't wait until the world sees. MTallyTally on Facebook. And Team Certified, chat it up if you want to keep up with everything we're doing right now. And, of course, James King, Team Certified TV, Facebook.
Yes, we will definitely have a lot of things up for Team Certified. You can always catch us right here on the weekend app or Tuesday with K9 on the Dog Pound, and we will be repping Team Certified as always. So, Natalia, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we appreciate that. And for all those out there, happy Mother's Day! And
thank you.
Well, we can all be mothers in one sense or the other.
Ladies, we gotta have some females listening. I know they're out here in boxing. Happy Mother's Day, ladies.
Most definitely. Shout out to Miss Melissa Smith and some of the other ladies that we've had on. Miss Frances, see, I'm messing her name up again, but she just won. She's fighting with the Headbangers and Barry Hunter. We have a lot of ladies to be proud of. I did get a chance to meet and talk to Clarissa Shields. Pretty sure I put those pictures up on Team Certified, but if I didn't, I will. And, Callie, thank you so much. I did my best to rep Team Certified down at the Boxing Expo. I did discover a new training machine down there that I also am going to be putting up on the website. I'm actually remodeling our website for Google. So look for the Pugilist Corner to get back on the web. So in the meantime,
okay.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your time. Hey, keep watching boxing. We look forward to talking to everyone next Sunday. The professor will probably be back. I know he's out celebrating with his family as well as the champ, Layman. So, hey, we thank all our listeners. We appreciate you and look forward to talking to you next week. And Tally, we look forward to having you back as soon as possible and keeping up with those announcements.
Thank you. Pleasure as always.
Have a great night. See you.
Bye-bye.